Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining me for the ROH parts of our dual post show. We have the TNA Go Home to Sacrifice, I think. I don't know. There's specials on TNA like every other day. So I can't keep track of them all, but I'm pretty sure it's the Go Home to Sacrifice. I've got a big special this coming weekend. Mustafa Ali is doing great stuff there. My dude makes me very happy to see some developments in the tag picture. All sorts of things, but I'm here to talk to you about ROH. And guys, more than ever, I need your regular chats. I need your super chats. I need your thumbs up. I need your help because there's just not that much to talk about today, to be quite frank. This is like a sub 1 hour episode. I used to complain that episodes were too long and superfluous. Now I like that they're only 1 hour when there's not a lot going on, but an hour of meaningless matches still isn't great outside of our women's TV tournament picture advancing, which was great. But man, oh man, we are a month out from Supercard of Honor. So yeah, thank you, chat. It's a very short show. This was rough. This was rough. I got some stats here. Okay, we got the stat man, Kyle K. Sparks, who I appreciate. Please follow him on social media if you're not, and if you do like this brand, he is one of the most passionate people in the world about it. But we haven't had our ROH champion on in 9 weeks. We haven't had a pure champion around in 12 weeks. Just so you know, 12 weeks is 3 months, okay? Our six-man champions have not been on in 8 weeks, which is 2 months. Our TV champion, also 8 weeks. Our tag team champions, 5 weeks. And what have they really done in those 5 weeks? Now you're women's champion 2 weeks, but I have less complaints about that because we have this cool tournament going on and we've had a ton of story in the women's title picture. But it's so difficult, man. It's really difficult on weeks when you have no champions on your show and they haven't been, none of them have been around in forever. And on top of that, we haven't had Dalton Castle and the boys because Johnny TV and Ty are keeping the boys hostage. Don't even get me started. We haven't had Ethan Page, largely because Kyle Fletcher's not around, I guess. So you don't have your champions, and you don't have the people that have been built to feel important alongside those champions. So what am I watching? This just has not felt good as a viewer, unfortunately. This is rough. And, this occurred to me the other day. If you watch Revolution, it's frustrating enough not to have your ROH champions around on ROH, but if you watch Revolution with diehards, they know, oh, okay, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang have these belts and this set of belts and whatever. If you are I'm gonna use the naughty word, okay? I'm gonna use the bad word, a casual. If you're a casual or a lapsed fan and you're tuning in to see Sting's retirement, for example, or you're just trying to get in, who's this Will Ospreay guy that everyone's talking about, right? And you sit down to watch a pay-per-view and everybody comes out with the belts, you're immediately like, I don't know who's important on this show. Because everybody has a belt. If you're like, okay, if someone has a belt, that makes them important. If you've got 2 6-man teams out there with trios belts, if everybody has a belt, it also dilutes the AEW side of it because there's no scarcity, right? So it just feels really unhealthy for both products. It's a complaint of mine on New Japan as well. Like, it's just too many damn belts. We need to collapse some of those lineages in the New Japan world. Here, you have 2 separate promotions. This is not New Japan Strong and New Japan or anything like that, or just New Japan proper having so many damn belts. But it's extremely frustrating to watch as a viewer and not have your ROH champs around. Kyle Fletcher, I understand there was nothing they could do about the visa stuff. Wheeler, they should have just vacated because the plan was never for him anyway, whatever. But I really do feel like it says that AEW is lazy if you can't come up with creative that doesn't involve borrowing another promotion's belts. It's not a good look for AEW. So we have Supercard of Honor coming up now. I'm going to talk about AEW because it affects this ROH picture, right? We had Okada show up, which was amazing. I love the angle that he walked into. I thought it was such an inspired choice to have him carry over his heel work and very easily filter a similar thing that he was doing in New Japan into this role with the Young Bucks. I think it's so much fun. Very easy to set up him and Kenny Omega. Looks like we're setting up him and Eddie Kingston right away, which makes me very excited, right? So Eddie versus Okada has some implications. Has some implications for the ROH product. And if they give you Eddie Kingston and Okada at Supercard of Honor, people are going to be really happy with that. But you can't just keep bailing yourself out every pay-per-view cycle and limp on your way into it. And it's so frustrating because I've been so enthused about the way that the product had been headed. And then it always does this bobbing and weaving stuff. And it really feels like they haven't figured out the dynamic between AEW and ROH. Like, the first layer of it was who's on what rosters, who's in what divisions, things like that, right? And now the next layer of that is, where are my champions? Why are we not building out the people that are in ROH, right? So it's rough. And being in a month out from Supercard, and this is the other thing, is then the feedback that they get, because Supercard's going to be great, is like, oh, it was an amazing pay-per-view. That's what happened last time. So the pay-per-views, nobody ever has a complaint about the pay-per-views because the work rate is so damn high. But it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating here. Let me know your thoughts on Supercard, because I am intrigued to see what they do because we've had no champions around. It feels like obviously Eddie's going to be there. If it's him versus Okada, that's amazing. Are our 6-man champions going to be there? Are our tag champions going to be there? Are we going to have stakes for those matches? Are we just going to get another tournament? Like, I love tournaments and I love in-ring. You have to tell stories. You have to tell some freaking stories. It gets so exhausting when it's like, and a survival of the fittest. What? Stop. Like, do the work. Do the work to tell some stories here. Ethan Page obviously coming for the TV title. I think that makes a ton of sense. Athena, there's a few directions you can go. I think her challenger might get set up out of the tournament, whether it's Billy Starks again and Billy goes over this time, or Billy beats Queen Aminata or something and it's Queen Aminata versus Athena. But her, I have a little bit more patience for, because I think her next challenger up may be coming from that pool. Or if it's not coming from the tournament, who knows? Like, maybe it's coming from somebody on the main roster. I think what they did with Nyla was super effective. I thought Shida versus Mercedes Moné was going to be a slam dunk of a move, but it seems now like that is Serena Deeb's spot. Like, I just assumed because Shida was off TV not doing anything that would be who Mercedes was looking for. But it feels like we're getting Serena Deeb, which is awesome. That match will be amazing. But if she does not doing anything, her cooking around ROH for a while might be fun. I don't know where Penelope Ford is. I don't know if you want to set her up for a title shot right away. But if she's healthy, she's someone who could be down here. Rio's doing a bunch of work on the main roster now, which is cool. So, but I don't know what you set up for Supercard, because it doesn't feel like they have any intentions of establishing stories or talent in ROH to be the challengers for these things. Like, there's nobody in ROH that feels like they're going to go up against Eddie. There's nobody in ROH that feels like they're going to go up against Athena. Like, it's so annoying, because you want this promotion to stand on its own two feet, and they just refuse to let it do that. So we're a month out. I hope that changes. A month is still plenty of time to tell some stories, but they just get so damn lazy with holding belts hostage and doing tournaments last minute. And I don't want to see that for this brand. This brand deserves more than that. It's one of the most prestigious brands that has ever been in wrestling. So here's hoping things pick up. Thank you guys so much for the chats. Jam Beard saying, one day we will get Brian versus Christian Cage feud, and Nigel will be on commentary for every segment match, and TK will do it solely for Kate. Look, I'd be a very, very happy camper. I'm going to Nigel's magic show in Philly. Tickets went on sale earlier. I am legitimately as excited for that as I am for WrestleMania, Supercard, anything else that weekend. Nigel's magic show. It's going down to Philadelphia. I'm so excited. I'm going to go on behalf of the clams. I can't wait. I'm legit. Like, I think magic is really cool. I think magic is really cool, and I love Nigel McGuinness. So I'm very, very excited to go. No joke. I'm not kidding. But Jam Beard saying, the boys are now a part of the TV family. They are in a better place. Look, they are not in a better place. They are in an evil place. Okay, Taya Valkyrie, I see you over there. Johnny TV, not happy about that. Not happy about that at all. Chambert also saying, shout out to Kate's first Waldo sweater. Where am I? Maybe I'm like our ROH champions. I wish I could have taken this back and pretended this was intentional. I am Where's Waldo, because I am like your ROH champions. That's what it is. You don't know. You have no idea where I am. So let's dive in a little bit. We've got plenty of time to kill as this goes on, but let me fix my charger first, because my dog loves to unplug it. Thank you so much. Let's dive in. Let's dive in. We did start with what I thought was the best and most important match of the night here. We had Red Velvet defeating Layla Hirsch. Really, really, really fun match. This had some big fight feel, because Layla had already beat Rachel Elvring going into this. We already had that like friendship test kind of come undone here. And Hirsch enters first, and she and Velvet were awesome. Like, they had really, really fun chemistry in this, in my opinion. Felt like they were maybe like favorites at certain points to win this. Both of them did, but it really feels like it's Queen Aminata's over the past couple of weeks. Commentary doing a great job saying that Hirsch is just such an excellent like grappler, not just a technical wrestler, but a really, really wonderful grappler. And we saw a lot of that in this match today. She does a lot of really creative stuff to put distance between her and Red Velvet, which I thought was great. We see some really nasty suplexes on Red Velvet. And then it just kind of turns into a brawl. There's something really special that Red Velvet does, where when she takes exception to something, it's just an, oh hell no, across her face. Like, her facial expressions to me have always been one of her greatest strengths. Since coming back from injury, I feel like her in-ring has found this happy space of being, daredevilish, but a little bit more controlled than it was. It's all a little bit more rooted in stuff that makes a little bit more psychological sense, and the execution is just a little bit more cohesive, I would say. So always nice to see improvement. I'm always so impressed when people come back from injury better than they left, because I can't understand how you can do that physically. That actually blows my mind. But this ends with Layla Hirsch going up for a moonsault, which I liked. She kind of stepped into Red Velvet's world a little bit, or at least out of her own. We see her so grounded, so technical. I love that we get this wonderful looking moonsault from Layla Hirsch in this. She only gets the two count though, and then they exchange a couple of pinning combinations and Red Velvet sneaks a win with a roll up. And I just really liked how much of this match Layla Hirsch was in control, but it just, Red Velvet was like, if I can just hang, I can maybe sneak one here. And this is a rare instance where I like the pinning combination ending because it felt like it fit with the story of the match. A lot of times those pinning combinations, quite frankly, get really sloppy. And a lot of times psychologically, they don't make sense. It'll be like two people that are capable of putting, I don't want to say a stronger finish together, but a more sensical finish respective to their move sets together. But this one I really, really liked. And Red Velvet moves on. So right now your ROH tournament has Queen Amanada versus Red Velvet, which I'm sure will be an excellent match. Very cool. Then on the other side of the bracket, we have Billy Starks versus Diamante and Mercedes Martinez versus Abaddon, which we'll circle back with later. But my guess is you're getting Amanada versus Billy Starks in this. I think you probably get Billy Starks and Mercedes on the way there. But some really good stuff. This was a really fun opening match. It was my favorite match of the night. Main event was fun too, but they just, it was a cop-out main event. Like it's not setting up contenderships. It's fun. They always are just like, we'll do a survival of the fittest four pack or whatever. This one having stakes was the only thing on the show that had any stakes tonight because we don't have top contenders around outside of this. We don't have any champions around. So that is that. But I'll tell you what's cool. That's the infantry. We got Carly Bravo telling us we got new shirts and sunglasses and logos and merchandise. And they're doing some posing and some showing off. They're fearless. Have no fear. Almighty Infantry are here. Carly Bravo, just how much charisma can he fit into one person? What a blast. What a blast. I love these guys. They're being made to be kept strong, as we'll talk about at the end here. But nice to see them with some screen time. Here's an idea. If you have a 50-minute episode of wrestling television, have Trish Adora wrestle someone. Just a thought. You know, one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. Getting nothing. I would put her on my television. I would put her on my TV show. She's great. And you did nothing with the time here. I understand it was a pay-per-view week. I hate episodes where they pull across multiple tapings. It never works. It's so boring. It's brutal. It's brutal. Lord Kev saying, there's been all this TMDK garbage. What the heck, man? Yeah, they're getting the TMDK treatment, and I think they're made to have a match. They owe each other an ass kick in the infantry and TMDK, so I'm with you on that, but it's been a lot of building up to nothing, which is brutal. I would love to see a lot of these teams thriving and succeeding. Like, I would love to see your GYVs come in, your MXMs, Motor City Machine Guns, whenever, if ever they're available. I would love to see teams like that in the fold here in ROH. But you have great teams. You just don't have contendership stakes because your champions are never around. So you have no stories and you have no contenders. And we've gotten a lot of clarity around who's a tag team and who's a trio. But there is still some ambiguity around some of that. Like sometimes the Iron Savages are a tag team, but sometimes they throw in Jack Jameson and they're a trio. So, kind of mixing and matching. They do that with the Luchadors all the time. So we will take it as it goes, I guess. But a fun backstage here. Go buy your infantry shirts at rohshop.com or whatever it is. But I don't understand how you've had Trish Adora around this long and you don't have a single path for her. It absolutely blows my mind. Like, she is a star. She proved it in her match with Riho on Rampage, right? We all saw it. We all know. We all know that as soon as that music hits and she's coming out from behind the curtain, she is a superstar. Like, she just has this presence about her. She has this infectious energy about her. I am so sick of, well, she lost, but that bridging suplex is unbelievable. give her a story. If you can build Dalton Castle and the boys and Johnny TV out to this level of perfection, you can find something for Trisha Dora. That's all I'm saying. I'm a little spicy tonight. A little spicy tonight because partly because I have to fill time, but also because I am alone over here. So help me out. Keep me cool. We're doing the best we can over here, but well, we move along to Abaddon versus Judy Asul. We get some fun back and forth here, but this is a pretty convincing win for Abaddon, as you would expect. About halfway through this very short match, we get Mercedes Martinez showing up at the top of the ramp. She's kind of scouting Abaddon for their match next week, which I like. And she kind of jaw jockeys with her a little bit. She gives her a little, is that all you got kind of thing. And that incenses Abaddon. And she, well, essentially just creeps out her opponent and overpowers her for an easy three count here. We get a nice little stare down. This was all just a setup next week. I have no problem with that. Makes sense. Give Abaddon a big win heading into this. They have done an excellent job since coming to ROH. And since that kind of angle that we were building out around Julia Hart and stuff, I think it would have been really cool if she joined House of Hearts. I think that would have been a fun angle for Abaddon. But they've been great in ROH so far. Their conditioning has improved. I think I mentioned that last time about their appearance. And you can see the work starting to pay off for a lot of wrestlers recently. We're going to talk about Lee Johnson in a second because that guy just keeps getting better week over week as well. But also the case with Abaddon, and just nice to see them get some reps outside of, like, it's Halloween, go. So refreshing to see there. Jim Beard saying, I love the usage of Abaddon and Nyla in ROH. Yes, we're going to talk about that momentarily too, but the AEW women's roster right now seems a little crowded, so them and ROH has rules. I agree. Nyla was just off TV for a while. That's kind of why I was thinking, like, it would be nice to see Penelope Ford down here or Sheeta down here. Sheeta obviously carrying a ton of cachet. That's why I thought she might be good for a title match position. But Penelope Ford getting some reps would be good if she's healthy. I know she's had some injury issues, so I don't know if that's the case or not, but it would be nice. It would be very nice to see. But we move right along as we do this whole episode. We get Lee Johnson and John Cruz in my favorite John Cruz match. We get Lee Johnson laying him out with a thunderbomb here. Only gets the two count, though. And then Lee Johnson gets a little bit more fired up and he puts him away with a nice side slam, which we've seen out of him. And he gets a six in a row for his win streak here. This was a really fun match. You get so many comedic flavors in here from John Cruz, but in ways that all make sense. Like, you can see him, he does a really good job in matches that have essentially no story, finding ways to tell a story in them pretty quick. Like, sometimes the match needs to be the story, and he does a really, really good job of architecting matches like this. And for a young talent like Lee Johnson, who is up and coming and doing great, it's really nice to see them get set up for success in matches like this. Again, John Cruz and Serpentico, very, very similar in ring movement and in stature and in way that they move in the ring. Might be nice to freshen it up with some other styles of wrestling, but I'm not mad about it. This was a very valuable rep from John Cruz. I really think it helped Lee Johnson. He has come along so far. He still has some things, I think, maybe in the selling arena that he could tweak a little bit to make things look a little bit more convincing. But this guy, every week, just better and better with him. So refreshing to see how it all comes together. I was talking about this on the NXT show with Alex, that probably two of the most improved wrestlers we saw there were Tiffany Stratton, who's now on the main roster, and Trick Williams, who is still at NXT, but extremely heavily profiled and would be shocked if he wasn't on the main roster sooner than later. With Tiffany Stratton, you saw this growth of it coming out together so gradually. You saw how athletic she was in the gymnastics background, and then you saw her put together sequences that made sense, and then you saw psychology come together, and you saw selling come together. You saw all these things over time, and it was really cool because it felt like she was like, I'm going to get better at that, and then she got better at that, and then she would target something else, and she got better at that. Trick Williams almost felt like, and he had some independent experience, so different situation than her, but it almost felt like overnight he was like, oh no, I get all of this. I get all of it. And now I'm just really good. And I feel like Lee Johnson is almost somewhere in the middle where the progress almost seemed out of nowhere, RKO style, like pretty out of nowhere. But even though the progress felt out of nowhere, you're still seeing improvement week over week, which is pretty cool, which is pretty cool. Like that's a fun balance. I really appreciate that. So some good stuff from Lee Johnson, and John Cruz just doing a really good job of doing his job of setting him up for success there. We move on to Erica Damia versus Nyla Rose. And this is a squash. Damia kind of has this superhero air about her, and it did nothing here. She gets just ragdolled from Nyla and a beast bomb, and we go home. That's the other thing on this. We had a couple of squashes and borderline squashes. They probably didn't know what both tapings were going to look like when they pulled across them, but you could do not squashes if you're going to have such a short taping schedule. But we got some love for Miss Erica, saying Erica is cool. I hope they use her again. I'm glad you said that, Chad, because that gives me an opportunity to plug the interview that she had with Fightful. So go ahead and check that out. Very cool. Very cool lady. Doing some really great work, picking up a lot of notoriety on the indies. And hey, since I'm telling you about interviews at Fightful, I'll also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Boy, oh boy, more and more stuff going up there week over week. Tons of information about Okada, and says he's the rainmaker. He made it rain with that contract. There are details about the length of the contract, how much money. Don't always get those, so kind of cool to see that we understand how much they have valued Okada. He's also relocating to the U.S., which was an interesting detail because that seemed like it was a priority to not do for him. But we will see what's to come of this Okada stuff. Very exciting. News on Sammy Guevara's suspension broke earlier in the week. That was kind of bummer news, but important news nonetheless. And of course, we're heading into WrestleMania, so there'll be more information about The Rock and Cody and WrestleMania, more locations, I'm sure, being thrown around for Money in the Bank when those get finalized. Money in the Bank might be finalized. I can't remember if it was SummerSlam or Money in the Bank, but Minneapolis was like, we got this. And they've done that before and been very wrong with other sporting events. So stay tuned to Fightful Select. We've got so much there for you. So we move along in our very quick episode today to our main event already. So we're going to have some more BSing to do, but this was another thing where it was like, okay, you couldn't have Kyle Fletcher, who's back. I know he fought Will Ospreay. He couldn't cut a promo responding to Ethan Page. Like, we can't use any backstages to build out any title pictures either, but we don't. We just move along to the infantry, Carly Bravo and Sean Dean, of course, who defeat Jack Cartwheel and Gringo Loco, thrown together tag team, because, of course, the workhorsemen, J.D. Drake and Anthony Henry, and Angelico and Serpentico, who we saw earlier in a four corners survival match. Surprise, surprise. Again, this is starting to feel a little bit lazy, if you ask me. But earlier in the show, we get Maria backstage, and Angelico and Serpentico find her, which was nice because we got some continuity. And they challenge Maria's boys, Cole Carter and Griff Garrison, to a match because Angelico's knee is fully better. And she said they don't fight losers. She pointed out that they haven't won anything in a while, so they give her a call when they do. And Maria then taunts Serpentico a little bit with the stolen mask. My problem with this is that Maria's boys haven't exactly been tearing it up either. They have not had meaningful wins. They haven't had any wins. They haven't been featured in a very long time. So she did the best she could with what she was given. She wasn't given very much, but this like they don't face losers. They kind of have been losing it, or at least not featured in a very long time. So there's an obvious story, I think, where they are going to have to get Maria's boys some wins, because them not facing the champions when she's married to one of them is a little bit weird. Like, it feels like it begs for that story, but I don't know. This was a very fun match. I continue to be extremely impressed by Jack Cartwheel. I don't understand how he is able to weave cartwheels into sequences that all make sense. Like, it's never superfluous. They always go for something. I thought him and Gringo Loco were pretty fun. But you know me, I'm a workhorseman gal. I love my JD Drake and Anthony Henry. Such a fun offset between the two of them. Like a giant JD Drake chop. And what Anthony Henry does in the ring, like some of the stuff he does, just throwing people around, like such a fun combo. And that was a really nice contrast with the styles of Angelico and Serpentico and the captain, Sean Dean and Carly Bravo as well. But this match ends with everybody kind of disappearing again. We got a lot of possum spots, which aren't my favorite, but I get it in matches like this. But Loco and Dean find themselves in the ring. And Loco eats a big boot from Carly Bravo. Dean lays him out for the win. It was a very chaotic little match. It was a very fun little match. But again, this is not for a contendership. I think the wins are hopefully leading to a tag team shot. I like that. I like when wins lead to tag team shots. I like that, but I just don't want this to be like, oh, well, they have three wins, so they're in this tournament, like we do every time. Like we do every time. So that gets old.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Swazi says, our grandparents had Bruno, our parents had Hulk Hogan, and our older siblings had The Rock and Stone Cold. We now have our tribal chief. You're welcome. Well, we will see how much longer we have our tribal chief headed into WrestleMania. But yeah, I mean, thanks for the little side of WWE chat. I certainly have the time to talk about anything else. But I do... I am looking forward to WrestleMania. I think The Rock's promo went a long way in helping that picture move forward. We still don't have a reason why Cody, in the first place, let The Rock do this. Some people are into this double agent theory. That's not for me, but we will see. This is the first time they've used WrestleMania to have something that's on night one affect a setup of something that happens on night two, which is pretty cool. So that's rad, but yeah. And in addition to that, you know, our parents, our grandparents, whoever, like, there's also been Jun Akiyama, right? And Norman Smiley. Like, wrestling is a wonderful and beautiful place to go find stuff. I obviously have been on a Tekker tear for a long time. Volk Han! How could I leave out Volk Han? He's been my new favorite to go back and watch. So, some really, really good stuff. Wrestling's always fun if you do it the right way. And by do it the right way, I mean just watch what you like. And I'm a big proponent of research because I feel that way about every art form. I've talked about that kind of ad nauseum, but watching present day wrestling is an enriched experience if you kind of know where stuff came from. I'm a big believer in that. And also, your favorite stuff might not always be what's directly in front of you, right? My favorite songs are not always what's on the radio. My favorite movies are not always the biggest box office hits. So always explore. But it is very cool that I feel like most weeks there's good stuff. There's good wrestling on every night. Maybe not all the hours of it. Maybe not every single match. But pretty much every night of the week we get some good wrestling. And that's very, very cool. So that's the show. We can just keep talking. Because that's all we got. We can talk a little bit about Supercard. If it's not Okada and Eddie, I have no idea who you've built up for Eddie, because you haven't built anybody but Ethan Page. Is going for the TV title, which I think will be great. I think he should win because this program desperately needs someone who's going to be around. Tag teams, no idea. Maybe it's the Infantry. I hope so. I so badly wanted the Infantry to win. I so badly wanted the Kingdom to win, like, months ago, because it felt like they were around and everybody else that was around wasn't even close to having consistent ones under their belts. And everybody else who would be thrown into, like, these four packs or whatever were just people that weren't being used in AEW. So I was team the Kingdom winning those belts for a really long time. And then they moved into the main roster and gave them the belts. And so what? I don't know. Oh, the chat saying that Eddie versus Lee would be a good showcase for Lee. That's true. He's won six in a row. That's a really good point. Him versus Eddie would give him some very, very cool shine. I just hope you have something lined up for what's after that, because seems like the Triple Crown is one belt. So they should probably give us Eddie and Okada, because they've given us nothing else. So that would be unbelievable, right? The women's picture, probably someone from AEW or somebody else coming out of the tournament. I have no idea what you do with the six-man belts. I have no idea what you do with the pure belts. I've been screaming at the top of my lungs about Josh Woods and Stu Grayson, two people that I think would be excellent in the pure division. I will say I got a scoop. I out-scooped Sean. You could tell him, okay? Not in secret. I just got a reply from Mark Sterling because I was like, where did this group go? Tony Nese was pushed really heavily with Ethan Page for what was a very fun match. Josh Woods was having matches and ripping people apart, and Mark Sterling was a big part of that. And I was just like, where did they go? Because they were around. And Mark Sterling replied to me and said, we as a unit are taking some time away to reevaluate after the big loss from Tony Nese. So I don't know if there's anything real life affecting that. I don't know if there's injury or personal time away or contracts or any of that kind of stuff. But I would really, really like to see pure matches return, even if your pure title holder is injured. Having Josh Woods around would be really nice. Having Stu Grayson in the pure division is something I've been asking for before he was even re-signed to AEW. I miss it so much. I feel like Stu in the pure division would just be such an interesting choice. It would be interesting. He's so great in the ring that I'm so intrigued to see what he would do with the psychological aspect of it. The chat saying I miss Shibata. I miss Shibata too. I miss Shibata too. Nobody misses Shibata more than Lyric. If you follow Lyric Wrestling, that's like her guy. Same with Kieran over at Wrestlin' and also Fightful Overbooked. Marcus thinks that they're going to do Bullet Club versus the Acclaimed at Supercard of Honor. Barf. Sorry, I have no interest in seeing that. That's an AEW match. Do it at Big Business. Get it over with. That angle is so dead in the water to me. I am done with the Acclaimed. Send Max Caster to do some singles work. Send Anthony Bowens on a singles run. Have him go really far in a C2 run at the end of the year, because that's the guy that can really work out of all of that. I'm so over it. I'm so over it. Do something better for Jay White, because this has gone on too long and it hasn't even really been going on that long. It's just bad. It's just bad creative. I'm so bored by it. It's been so obvious. And the other thing is, I don't want them to merge the six-man belts, because every time they merge a belt, they're never around. But I guess they're never around anyway, so what are you going to do? But Sean's been saying, make some of these just world belts. Like, have them go to New Japan Strong, have them go to New Japan Proper, have them go to the Indies. Like, nobody has gotten women's tag belts right. Nobody. And nobody has gotten trios belts right. Nobody. So when Okada first showed up with the Bucks yesterday, I was like, oh, maybe they're going to restore the trios division. Like, maybe the three of them are going to come together and make that feel very important very quickly. But does not seem to be the direction that we're headed. So the point is, I miss Stu Grayson. The point is, I miss Stu Grayson, and I'll say it every show. I love that guy. Not just because he sent me one of the most entertaining cameos of all time that somebody bought for me, which was very sweet. But I don't know what they're doing with him. I don't know what they're doing with any of the Dark Order outside of being like, hey, you want to do being the Elite for a while instead? It felt like they were leading toward a heel turn and nobody really connected with it, because it's like, can you do something different than involve Hangman Page in your shit? That's kind of what it felt like. I miss my Stu. I miss my Stu. And he left the Dark Order, by the way. We had this very entertaining story between the Righteous and the Dark Order. And it was for, like, the custody of Stu Grayson a little bit. And we never got a real resolution about it, because we got the Righteous winning that match, but Stu never fully went with them. And I felt like that could have gone so many interesting places, and it just didn't. It just didn't do it right. So people are saying the TNA Knockouts tag belts have gotten pretty good. They've gotten pretty good. There was a while where even those were stuck in the mud, and TNA does women's wrestling extremely well. But there was a while where it was, even those were like, this is rough. This is rough. So I'm glad that they're back on track. They have some very sexy teams that are involved in that picture with MKUltra. And some they have just some incredible women's talent. Thursday night's a great night for women's wrestling. It rules. It rules. They had OGB and Eric Young as women's tag champs at one point. I didn't know that. I did not know that. Yikes. The Infantry and Lee Johnson should be ROH tag and TV champs. I think you're leading to an Ethan Page win. I'm very intrigued to see what happens with Shane Taylor Promotions, because we got word that Shane Taylor signed, as reported by FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the biz, whatever. But, yeah, they've got to enter the picture here at some point. I think I'm very nervous. They're just going to be like, a tournament. Yay. Like we always do. So I would like some stories. I like stories that are in ring stories, but they have to be told. You have to tell the stories. So that's what's up with Supercard. I should have brought my Mad Libs. Remember when I played Mad Libs? Cause we had a gap in time. That was fun. I could have played with you guys. I made Cresta do it, and she was unbelievable at it. She was the best at it. Is anybody in the chat going to be at Supercard of Honor? Say hi to me, please, because I will most definitely be there. I'm very excited. Reg will be there. I'll figure out what we're going to do with that post-show. Let me know if you guys would like a live post-show. Actually, leave a comment on this video if you've watched this far, or you can tell me in the chat right now. But I would love people that watch it on delay, because a lot of people watch this on delay. Let me know if I should try and set that up, because that's a lot of work to set up. But if it's something you guys want, we could do a super card post show kind of on delay at some point in the weekend, maybe. That might have been ambitious now that I'm saying it out loud, because we have NXT Stand to Deliver. We have night one of WrestleMania, night two of WrestleMania. So maybe I'm making promises I can't keep. But perhaps we could do like a morning one or something before NXT Stand and Deliver. So could be fun. I'm excited for that weekend. I haven't had a WrestleMania in my backyard in a while, so that should be fun. That should be fun to go to. I get to hang out with Sean. I've met Sean in person like for 4 minutes probably at Grand Slam the first time they did it. It's so crazy how many of my coworkers, in that case my boss, I haven't met. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing some people, and I'm looking forward to Nigel's magic show. But JB is saying, really feel like the missed out on, I think they missed out on giving Mark Briscoe the ROH World title when he got hurt, and I want them to get back to that, him versus Eddie. Now, Mark Briscoe versus Eddie would be a hell of a program. The problem is they're both about as babyface as you can get right now, which ROH, I feel like you can buck that trend a little bit, but I think this would be tough. I think this would be tough because it's not just your ROH title, right? This is your Triple Crown Championship. So that means Mark Briscoe is also your Continental Crown holder, your New Japan Strong title holder, and this. So Shane Monster saying, what Western talent should be in Best of the Super Juniors 31? You're saying Senlee Moriarty? Hell yeah. Mustafa Ali should go to the finals versus Fujita. Set it up. If you don't send Fujita to the finals, we're just going to talk a little New Japan right now. I'm sorry. We have like another 20 minutes or so. So we're taking a little New Japan detour. If you don't have Fujita go super far in the Best of the Super Juniors, what are you doing? Like, either win it or go to the finals. Because that kid is ridiculous. He's got like a nastiest wheel kick I've ever seen. He's super young. He's so good. And I know I'm a TMDK homer, but legitimately, when you talk about like 25 under 25, like 25 great talents under 25 years old, if he's not like in your top 10, you got to start paying more attention, man, because that dude is un-freaking-real. Jay Beard saying Eddie has defended title separately, though. I feel like they've been so unclear about that, which is frustrating to me, but rough. Rough. New Japan and Muddy Waters. Yeah, you want to talk some New Japan being in Muddy Waters? Why is Chase Owens, who's a tag team title holder, defeating Ishii? Why is Matt Riddle anywhere near a title, much less holding one? Nick Nemeth, I get, because that's supposed to be an ambassadorial title. Naito, what do we even do? I think there's a strong possibility John Moxley wins it, and you have this entire like Gaijin takeover of the brand, which I hate. I hate that idea. New Japan Cup's an interesting one. You could easily set up like, I was thinking it'd be cool to have like a Gabe Kidd or somebody win that, but I do think maybe you just got to get this belt on Zach as soon as possible, because it just does not feel like anybody else is ready for it, and he has such a history with Naito and such a history with the New Japan Cup. I think that could be a fun direction to go. ZSJ Stan and all, there's plenty of fundamental wrestling reasoning behind that. Like, just have Zach win it and beat Naito. I'm so done. I'm so mad about the start that New Japan's off to. Shane Haste isn't in the New Japan Cup, and he beat Naito in the G1. Like, what are we doing? I mean, he's ziplining, so God bless him, but yeah, Jack Perry joining House of Torture is weird. But I'm going to give it time because, well, I hate House of Torture. It's the most reaction Jack Perry's ever gotten. So sometimes go away heat is good for things like that. It's good for things like that. Forbidden Door is going to be weird this year. I hope Riddle isn't in it. If he, please God, let him drop that belt before, or just don't have it on the show. I'm very intrigued about if that's going to be in Mexico because of all the CMLL crossover. Forbidden Door is going to be, oh no, duh. What am I saying? It's in my backyard. If it's going to feature Mexican talent, that one's, yeah, Northeast finally getting to feast a little bit. Suck it, Chicago. We get a couple. So that should be good. Tsuji winning the New Japan Cup would be good. He's someone that they've actually done some stuff with, but New Japan alum versus AEW originals for Forbidden Door. That would be fun. That would be fun. It would be fun to include ROH talent. It'd be fun to have Athena on there properly at some point. Chad saying maybe Stardom too with Rossi gone. That's a possibility. That's a possibility for sure. You guys ready for big business next week? I am. Boss time, baby. Excited. Have I met anyone else from Fightful? I have met Joel. I've never met Alex. even though it feels like he's my big brother. I met Reg at Wrestle Dream. I met Sean for those 5 minutes at Grand Slam, but I'll get to see him. I'm so excited. Never met Jimmy. I met Cardoza. I met Cardoza before he started working at Fightful, actually. We grabbed coffee shortly before he started working at Fightful because he was close to me and I knew he was working with Freddie and we had a ton of crossover just like in kind of like mutual paths and relationships and stuff. And that was before I knew Sean was leaving me every Friday properly. He just tried to like trail off of doing his job, which I thought was very rude of him. But we had Cardoza come in and sub, and then he just kind of stuck around. So I met everybody in like short spurts for the most part. So I'm hoping in Philly I get to spend more time with the people that I just adore so much. Never met Jeremy, which I want to do because I want to V trigger him. Robert DeFelice, I would love to meet. That guy's just the best. We got a good crew. We got a good crew. Corey Brennan, I would like to meet because it means I might be in Ireland if I did. So I would like to go to Ireland and I would like to meet Corey. So I can't wait till Philly though. I'm excited for the wrestling. I'm so excited to see my friends, like ones that I haven't met, ones that I met briefly inside and out of Fightful. Like I can't wait. And Nigel McGuinness's magic show. Very excited. Very excited. Marcus the Entertainer saying Stardom is going to be on the supercard, I heard. I hadn't heard that, but that would be cool. That would be very cool. Shea Monster saying, give me AZM versus Athena at supercard. That would be quite a spot. I have not met Rob or Maggie. It's possible I meet both Rob and Maggie at All In if I get to go. So, yeah, Grapsody and Kate collab. I would love that. I love Phil so much. He's just one of the most grounded voices and smartest dudes that's in wrestling. I just want to hug everybody. Forbidden Door 3 should have AEW Women's Champ Mercedes Moné versus Stardom Champ Julia versus ROH Champ Athena versus CMLL Champ, if they have one. I'm familiar with CMLL. I don't know who their champ is. I know very little about CMLL. And then I ask our moderator, Louise, everything else. Here's what I know. Stephanie Vacure rules. She's incredible. I would like to see her on television as much as possible, please. And I know there's an injured talent right now named Johnny Robbie, who is awesome. She had an ROH rep that she didn't really get to showcase. Everything that she could do because it was just like a random tag match, but she's great and I cannot wait to see her back in action. Very excited. This is fun. Keep getting in your chats. We'll just BS for a while because ROH was so short today. Before Joel and Cresta come on here, I will do my responsibilities and remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com though. There's so much going on back there. There's now like a Fightful movie club where people from Fightful are watching cool movies. What else do we have? We have the Q&A, which I always put over because Sean is the best at getting answers to questions you guys have. Alex and I, of course, doing pay-per-view post shows behind the paywall, which is fun. A lot of bonus episodes of podcasts, all the scoops you could ever want. Oh yeah, Tessa's in CMLL. I don't think she'll be appearing in AEW anytime soon. Don't think that. And we'll see what happens with Julia, because Julia is out of Stardom, right? She's going over to this new promotion that Rossi has. So, man, there's some interesting possibilities for Mercedes. She's going to start with Serena Deeb, right? But I'm very intrigued to see where she goes, because people that have come in have been very title adjacent. Like they haven't come in and won a title. And I would love to see Mercedes versus Toni Storm, because I think that would be a whole bunch of fun. I don't know if you want someone this important coming into this insane of a character right away. And I also don't want Deonna just to get wiped away after her loss. But Willow going for the TBS title is interesting. Willow going for the TBS title is interesting because Mercedes and Willow obviously have history that kind of writes itself. So I love this Julia Hart reign. If you want to keep it on her, I wouldn't blame you. But like Mercedes costing Willow could get really fun. Willow winning and Mercedes going after that title instead of the world title because of their history and the reason she was injured being in a match with Willow. Very fun possibilities. Or she could just tear it up. Like she could come in and be unrelated to the titles for a while and go for it elsewhere. I think Serena's a really fun incoming match. Really fun incoming match. Someone this morning super chatted into Wrestle Talk that Monet should debut as part of the Bucks' new elite stable. I think, so I love that idea, but I think, oh, cool. Stephanie Vecchia is the current CMLL Women's World Champion. Awesome. She's the best. I love the idea of Mercedes being in that stable. I feel like she's too big of a star attraction, and the women's division is finally getting some footing that you probably don't want to mix that up right now. Finally mix that up right now. Shotkid, I'm going to skip the first part of your chat just because I don't like to be mean about talent, but noting that Kevin Kelly was off the AEW roster page this morning, saying that you'd love to see someone like Veda Scott come in sooner rather than later. Veda's great. Veda is great. Whoops. I didn't want to call that up. Veda's wonderful. I'm always rooting for women on the commentary desk. We don't have really enough of them on any major program, kind of any of them. I will also, if you don't know, no, that's okay, Shotkid. You're good. I try to be extra careful about things. If you aren't familiar with Alyssa Marino's work, she's excellent as well. She's excellent as well. So some good ladies' names out there. I'm always in Riccaboni gal. I'm always an Ian Riccaboni gal. I just think he's the best at it. He rules. It's okay, Shotkid. By the way, I agree with you, just so you know. I just didn't want it to come off that way. There was some commentator tea that I'm not going to get into, but Ian had mentioned some stuff that he was uncomfortable with that Kevin Kelly brought up on air in a Discord, and someone screenshotted that and put it out there, and Kevin Kelly had a reaction to it and has been very vocal about how much he disapproved of what Kevin said. So I can't tell you it's not libel, because up until recently Kevin Kelly had the same job that he was hired for, so that's not libel. But Ian to me is the best play-by-play guy in the game. And there's a lot of really great play-by-play guys. Him and Caprice are so much fun. I put it over every week here on commentary. Caprice's personality alongside Ian is just unbelievable. I think the call of the year last year was Ian and Nigel calling that Bullet Club Gold versus FTR tag match. It's unreal how good that commentary call was. And Ian and Nigel, I mean, those two might be my favorite, really. So I very well could just be biased, but the two of them together just had this magic, I felt like, of because Nigel is a wizard at being so funny, but believing everything he says, and also just flipping the switch so seamlessly into very real grounded perspectives of why certain wrestling moves affect wrestlers in certain ways, or the point of them, the intent of them. Like that was magic for me. Yeah. Frantic World pointing out, I like Kevin Kelly, but after what happened is no for him. I really liked Kevin Kelly in New Japan. Like I really liked his New Japan work. It just maybe was a better fit for him. Maybe because it's tournament based, it's just like an easier thing. And I did feel like Kevin Kelly's performance improved when the C2 was going on, probably because it was so his wheelhouse. But I don't ever wish ill on anybody losing their job. That just feels just not nice. So, but it is what it is. There's certainly not a lack of great commentators in AEW right now. Once Shivani and JR hang it up, my dream AEW commentary team Teams are Taz, Excalibur, Caprice on Dynamite, Riccicino, how nice, Matt Menard in a rotating third chair on Rampage, Ian Nigel and Veda on Collision. So I'll say this. If Bryan Danielson wants to do commentary after he hangs it up, that guy is incredible. Incredible on commentary. I would like to see him in the fold on that. But if you're going to put Riccicino in there, put me in there, okay? I do commentary for Excite Wrestling. At least gas me up, Shot Kid. But I agree. There's so many great commentators across most brands right now, honestly. So Rick is great. I love Riccicino. And someone else who I say that I adore, but with hesitation, is our wonderful Joel Pearl. But before that, Shea Monster saying, Team Swear Jar Mox on random commentary. We've had some incredible, incredible guest commentary appearances, just in general. Kevin Owens in WWE is amazing. Shane Hayes during New Japan is hysterical. And Mikey Nichols. ZSJ roasting Danielson on commentary before Wrestle Dream was great. Matt Menard is unbelievable. We've gotten some really fun guest appearances, but not a guest, an important piece of the show. Joel Pearl is here.
Hi.
Hi, I brought you on before Cresta because I've just been talking about bullshit for the past half hour.
Really? Have you now? How has that been going?
Actually, pretty well. ROH had like a mini episode today, essentially. It was only 50 minutes long, which happens a lot with the
I was going to ask, what is a mini episode for them? Because normally their episodes are about 5.5 hours long, right?
Well, they had found a sweet spot of an hour 45 to 2 hours, but sometimes around pay-per-views, because they're pulling across multiple tapings and stuff like that, we get kind of, oh, hi, Cresta. You look different. I look different.
Background was just throwing me off. Sorry, as I fix my hair. It's been kind of a crazy day. So
It's all good, brother. A Jam Beard saying, for me, I want Taz, Excalibur, and Veda on Dynamite Collision to be Nigel and Mauro. Mauro Ranallo was great. And Ian and Caprice do ROH and Rampage. I think if you have someone do ROH, they'll probably do Collision because of travel schedules. Realistically, yeah. ROH records at home, fun fact, for the most part. But
wow,
my dream is
curtain here.
Ian everywhere. Ian, I want to see. I don't think we've gotten really a lot of just like Ian and Taz. I'm so intrigued by what that dynamic would be. But out of everybody that's available, Ian and Nigel have been my fave so far. But
I feel like Ian and Taz would be like the match made in heaven, but the most confusing layer of heaven.
I want to see how that goes. Yeah. Like, I really want to see how that goes because I feel like the offset would be so great. Or is it like a bridge too far? But I am currently an imposter. I am not the beautiful, wonderful, incredible, amazing. What's the Lady Gaga thing? Like, incredible, fantastic, never been seen before, wonderful, Cresta Star. We're going to bring her in here. TNA
not intake. Exposing the business, not this.
Hi, beautiful. How are you?
Hi, how are you? That was so funny. Beautiful, talented.
You are never been before.
Not afraid to reference or not reference.
That's right.
I'm screaming. How are you? How was ROH?
It was very short. So Reg leaving me in the lurch today, but it's his birthday week. And I said, wow, doing a show with the white girl really rubbed off on you if you're claiming a birthday week. That's some white girl shit right there.
Well, then I guess I'm a white girl because I'll definitely celebrate my birthday for a week too.
Yeah, let's go. I'm glad that
white girls. I was going to take that out of context.
Oh, no. It's going to get clipped.
Hey, my birthday falls on a Saturday this year. That's fun.
That rules. That rules. It lines up.
That's when's your birthday, Joel?
June the 1st. So get your money ready and send it all to me.
Okay, work.
Oh, I gotta go. That's my cue to leave. Have fun talking about TNA.
Hey, what does Kate and Sean Ross have in common? Anytime money is brought up on a stream, they suddenly disappear.
You know what? Same.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.